AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. The U.S. Supreme Court's hearing arguments on the Biden effort to forgive student debt for millions of people.
The Biden administration says it has the power to implement the program, but the six Republican states don't have the legal standing to sue over the plan. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson asked the Solicitor General of the Department of Justice what it means if the courts say that they do.
Would we be breaking new ground then if on this basis we found standing?
Yes, I'm not aware of any case that would support standing on this basis.
A decision isn't expected until June. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
A major cyber attack has hit the U.S. Marshals Service. CBS's Scott McFarlane has details from Washington.
Officials say cyber criminals were able to obtain sensitive law enforcement data. Officials say the compromised information includes personal information about certain employees, about wanted fugitives, and sensitive information about ongoing legal procedures.
In Florida, a newly released arrest warrant includes two new murder charges against the 19-year-old man accused of shooting and killing three people last week in an Orlando neighborhood. He now faces three counts of first-degree murder. Took till the last day of February for significant snow to fall in parts of the Northeast. CBS's Errol Barnett is in Connecticut.
Travel with patience, you know, really drive slowly. And all of the regional airports right now, from Boston to New York's Newark, JFK and LaGuardia, are facing cancellations and delays. So it's kind of a reminder for everybody, if you have to get through the Northeast this week, take your time.
In Michigan, thousands are facing a sixth straight day with no power after storms there last week. California is getting more stormy weather today and tomorrow. America's top diplomat says the U.S. could target China with sanctions if Beijing helps Russia with weapons in Ukraine. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Secretary Blinken in Kazakhstan said again that if China supplies Moscow with lethal aid in its war against Ukraine, it would be a serious problem.
China can't have it both ways when it comes to the Russian aggression in Ukraine. It can't be putting forward peace proposals on the one hand while actually feeding the flames of the fire that Russia has started with the other hand.
He spoke as the president of Belarus is expected to arrive in Beijing for a visit. Belarus is a close ally of Russia.
Mexico's president says Tesla is going to build a plant in the northern city of Monterrey. A new private report says consumer confidence slipped this month. The conference board says stubborn inflation and fears of a slowing economy are the reasons. Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is down 100 points. This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. STI.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane McNair. Here's what you need to know. Two major bridge projects are included in Governor Evers' budget proposal. The governor wants to set aside nearly $100 million combined in bonding for the Blatnik Bridge, connecting Duluth and Superior, and the South Bridge project of the Fox River in Brown County. Wisconsin and Minnesota will split the cost of the estimated nearly $2 billion Blatnik Bridge replacement. Transportation officials are hopeful federal money will cover the bulk of the project costs. The bridge opened in 1961. And has been deteriorating. More than 30,000 people use the bridge daily. 41-year-old Alan Bone of Rock County was arrested Saturday night for his fourth OWI. A passenger riding in Bone's vehicle was killed in 2003 while Bone was driving drunk. A Janesville officer also found 28 grams of cocaine. I'm Jane McNair. This is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. It's not-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
The Party of Freedom, at it again.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Ticked off, tee off, this is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. It is Tuesday. It is not raining anymore. We are very excited about that. I am recording from home today, which is very exciting because I'm going to hand the reins over later today to not just one, but two female radio legends. Not only is Jane Matinair going to take over for me at 12, but she is going to be joined by Miss Carol Kane.
The one and only.
Are you guys excited about that?
Yeah, we
the
really are.
The one and only.
The one and only. We've been friends a really long time. We were competitors for a really long time. And now we get the chance to work together, which is wonderful.
It is wonderful. And so what are you two going to be talking about once I have to head out at noon?
We're going to lighten things up a little bit. We're going to talk to Carol Deptola, who was the dining critic, restaurant critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for the last 15 years. And she just announced that she is retiring.
Yeah.
So she's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour from 106 to about 120 and talk about some of the magnificent things she's discovered and the best restaurants and some of the best stories that she's uncovered and what she's planning to do next. And also in the 1 o'clock hour, somebody came out with a list of the five greatest rock bands of all time. They narrowed it down to five.
That sounds like, remember, I think last month Rolling Stone tried to name the 200 top singers of all time, and there was a lot of anger about some people who did not make that list.
Oh, I bet. So, yeah, we're going to take some calls and some texts about whether or not this list is accurate and who they missed out on.
Who made the list?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, tease.
You'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, thank you to Carol. Thank you to you. I have to go to an appointment that could not be moved. It did not care that I have a radio show every day. And so I have to go do that. But we're still going to have fun this hour with some big topics. But it's the last day of February.
Yeah.
And so I thought it might be fun to start doing like fun short facts at the start of each show. And sometimes it might be to do with the observance of that day, some random thing. But today, do you know why there's only 28 days in February?
I assume it's something about syncing up the calendar.
So I guess it's because of Roman superstitions.
Really?
Ancient Roman superstitions. Yeah. So I may not pronounce this right, but Roman king Numa Pompilius tweaked the calendar to sync it with the lunar year, and that included changing every month to 29 days because even numbers were unlucky at that time. One month, though, needed to have an even number of days, and February was selected since it was when the Romans held rituals for the dead.
Oh, that's cheery.
So it was like already, I guess, potentially an unlucky month. So they were like, well,
what's
we'll
it
make
hurt?
This one. We'll make this one the even one. Ah. And so February was dropped down to 28 days instead of 29. And despite numerous changes to the calendar over the years, obviously we now have 30 and 31 days instead of 29 in the other months of the year. February stuck to 28.
That's really odd. And don't you
really odd?
Yeah. And don't you feel badly for the, I think they're called leaplings. The people who actually have the birthday on the 29th. I mean, what a robbery. I always felt
just like, what would you opt for? To celebrate on the 28th or the March 1st?
I would do the 28th if it were me.
Why?
I don't know. and it's not like it makes a difference as far as your horoscope is concerned.
Yeah. What are you? If you're, do you get an astrological sign if you're born on February 29th?
No, leaplings.
Or is that the perk of being a leapling, is that you just like, you don't ever have to have a sign. And so you get to avoid all of those conversations entirely.
These horoscopes don't apply to you.
All right. Well, in the next segment at the bottom of the hour, I want to have a conversation about the difference between startups and small businesses.
Okay.
Because I feel like sometimes they get used interchangeably, especially in this story that came out this week, that there's going to be $80 million from ARPA funds to small businesses. That's what the headline reads.
Okay.
But when you read it, a lot of that is going to startups. And I think it's important to have a conversation about what the differences between those two things are. And not that either is, both are good, but I think it also brings up the conversation of like, who gets economic development support in our state? So that's going to happen at 11:30. But to start, for the ticked off tee off, it's not, what I'm ticked off about is not necessarily the topic. It's a conversation I had regarding the topic prior to today's show. So the topic at hand is what I'm sure a lot of shows are going to be talking today, and it is the deposition of Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, yeah.
And this was a month ago. The actual deposition was a month ago, but news broke yesterday, similarly to how messages broke last week as far as this Dominion case and this ongoing lawsuit that Dominion has against Fox News as far as defamation. And what's coming to light is that Fox, from Rupert Murdoch to the different hosts, to producers, knew that they were endorsing a lie. And so yesterday's news broke, and basically the headline is Murdoch acknowledges Fox News host endorsed election fraud falsehoods. Just as a reminder, Rupert Murdoch is the chairman of Fox Corporation. So he acknowledged in a deposition taken by Dominion Voting Systems that some Fox News hosts endorsed false claims that the 2020 election was stolen. His remarks were made in a public, in a legal filing as part of Dominion's $1.6 billion lawsuit. And in his deposition, Murdoch rejected that the right-wing talk network has, as an entity, endorsed former President Donald Trump's election lies, but conceded that Sean Hannity, Jeanine Pirro, former host Lou Dobbs promoted the falsehood about the presidential contest being stolen. His quote was, "Some of our commentators were endorsing it." But according to the filing, when asked about the talk hosts' on-air positions about the election, "I would have liked us to have been stronger in denouncing it in hindsight." Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah, right.
And the filing also revealed that Murdoch referred to some of Trump's 2020 election lies as, can't say it on air, but bull poop and damaging. And so, you know, and then there was some stuff about Jared Kushner, and it's just mounting evidence that here's a very powerful media company that was kind of in bed with Trump's campaign.
Yep.
And so that is enough to get upset about, Or maybe you're gleeful about it because you're like, this is the gotcha moment. They're going to get sued and Dominion's going to win. And for so many people who I think are on our side of the aisle, you know, there is glimmers of that there's going to be accountability for Fox's role in all of this. And now I get to my conversation.
All right.
So I've talked about this friend before, but I have a friend who sees the world differently than I do. And even as of yesterday, was talking to me about how he's so disappointed that the mainstream media has not made a bigger deal about the Twitter files. And all the, because he was upset that with the Energy Department report that came out saying that with low confidence.
Very low confidence.
With very low confidence, there it may have been a lab leak. He sends that to me and I kind of say, okay, so what? And he points out that at one point people got kicked off of Twitter for even acknowledging that it may be a lab leak. And I go, who got kicked off? Trying to ask for specifics. And then he said something about wishing the Twitter files like were covered more in mainstream media. And then I sent him a bunch of articles saying, well, here's a lot of coverage about it. He goes, well, I wish it was on the Today Show because it's apparently that's all that matters. And he's referencing his mother, which I understand this because I also have a mother who listens, who gets a lot of her news from Good Morning America. And I was like, this is never going to be on the Today Show, man. And so in turn, I wake up this morning and send him this article to get his response.
Sure.
And his response was basically, whataboutism? And talked about Hillary Clinton denying the election results, talked about Stacey Abrams denying her election results, and basically the sum of it being both sides do this.
That's not true.
And so he doesn't care about this Dominion case. And I got so frustrated that I just deleted the entire conversation. And I want to talk about it now because in having these conversations or attempting to have these conversations with people who we don't always agree with, instead of having the conversation in the echo chamber, how do you even approach that? How do you rebut that, right? When the response you get is both sides do this, you can't convince me that this is any worse than the Mueller report and all of the money and time and energy we spent on that and the Steele dossier. And he just threw out all of these things in the Trump era of trying to discredit him and say that there was Russian collusion and all of this stuff. And it just got frustrating because it feels to me like false equivalence, right? But do you just disengage the conversation then and just end it? Do you continue to talk? And so that's my question to the audience. How do you talk about this stuff with conservative friends who don't care about this development, who think it's as bad as past things with Hillary Clinton or Stacey Abrams? Where do you take the conversation in a productive way? Or is this just an example where you say, I guess we're just not going to talk about this.
I give up.
So give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And we'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies.
And I've got proof. Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 44. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows dip down to about 33. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 48. A dusting of snow tonight with another dusting Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are spinning the Rupert Murdoch story headline of him admitting in a deposition that certain Fox News hosts endorsed Trump's fraudulent claim that the election was stolen.
Even though they knew that was a lie.
And less trying to break down what was said in the deposition, but more as this Dominion case develops and there is more incriminating evidence about Fox and their role in all of this. When you talk to friends who just don't think it's a big deal and don't think it's a big deal because both sides do it. And because I had that conversation this morning. And it was funny because he did. I mean, we're fine, but he texted me back. He's like, I just want to show for the record that you texted me this morning, because he's usually the one texting me with something to rile me up about. But because I think I reacted and I was really, I got pretty frustrated and emotional about it, because it just felt like he was moving the goalposts every time. He was like, well, what did the Mueller article even find, or the investigation even find? And I showed him information. And at one point, you know,
weren't there 10 instances of obstruction?
And that's what I said. I was like, there was obstruction of justice. There was, like, while there was not necessarily collusion, there was definite Russian attempts to mess with the election. So I copied and pasted all of that. And so it was one of those things. And like, he just kept changing what I had just refuted. And so my question to the audience is, in the attempt to engage with people that you don't agree with, and this is different than policy, but like, how do you do it? And so we got one on the live stream, but Jane, you said we had a text as well.
We do, from the 262, shutting him down. That's how you have to handle people like that. They are not retrievable. Brain is long gone. I know I have them in my own family. And then another text, also from the 262. I think almost everyone gets to the point in a disagreement where it becomes personal for them. Emotion takes over and doesn't allow for clear reasoning. Unfortunately, conservatives think protecting Fox News is worth the fight. Most progressives are interested in substantial things like preserving the rights of the LGBTQ community and women's autonomy.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And we also have something on a comment on the live stream from Joseph McClear. How do you talk about it calmly or not at all? Don't expect the other side to have any aha moment after a short conversation, especially, I'll add this part, probably over text. State the facts, state your reason. If they don't budge, you've done what you can. It's a sad but documented truth that people often respond to factual challenges to their beliefs by becoming even more convinced that they are correct.
That's a really good point.
It's a really good point. And I'm usually pretty good at that. And I think that's the moment where you just walk away from the conversation and or change the subject and just say, okay, because I'm not, it became very clear that I was not going to, there wasn't enough refuting or trying to explain. Because then you get into the straw man arguments and you fall into the trying to explain why it's different.
Right.
Why Hillary Clinton and what she said is different than what Trump did. Why Stacey Abrams not accepting the results because of voter suppression is different than election denying and saying it was stolen because of, you know, of computers and algorithms. And so it felt like I just wanted him to concede that this is a big deal. And he didn't necessarily say that it's not a big deal. He just said he doesn't care because he feels like both sides do it. And that for the mainstream media outside of Fox, they just call it reporting. And so I just thought it was interesting because it's such a reinforcement to just talk to people who agree with you.
It is important.
Right? Because I knew you and I would talk about this and we probably have a very similar feeling about it. Right. And I'm sure if we talked about this with a lot of other shows on this network, another host on this network, they're probably having a similar, like, gotcha, this shows it. What they did was wrong. And that's fine to keep talking about that amongst ourselves. But is there anything that can break through the barrier to try to talk to people who just don't see it like this?
Well, I think we need to find a cult deprogrammer. Because honestly, can you imagine the outrage if, say, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow had been sending direct texts to then President Barack Obama on some policy things or things? Think about the number of Fox hosts, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, who were texting then President Trump the day of the insurrection, telling him to get them to knock it off. There is nothing comparable on the other side. There's not.
No.
There's not.
I know.
There's no smoking gun that says that MSNBC knew what they were reporting was a lie, but they did it for money because their audience was going somewhere else. And that's what this Rupert testimony does.
See, we know where Jane stands on this.
If I'm being unclear, I will take some more time.
No. I think you are being clear. And it's interesting to think in the bigger picture of the case that is being built and if this really is a winnable case for Dominion, but it doesn't help us in our actual interpersonal relationships of the best way to have these conversations. And I feel like the best way is basically what we saw from Joseph McClear's comment, which is calmly or not at all.
Yeah, definitely. You resort to insults and you resort to curse words and you've lost. You've lost your argument.
Exactly. All right. Well, when we come back, the difference between small businesses and startups and supporting both and why that looks a little different. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News special report. The Biden plan for student loan forgiveness is before the U.S. Supreme Court. Solicitor General Elizabeth Preliger on the arguments made by Republican states that brought the challenge.
They lack merit when you look at the secretary's explanation for why this relief, in his judgment, was necessary. He documented the substantial economic impacts of the COVID pandemic across the entire country that's already necessitated unprecedented levels of aid that we've never seen before.
Chief Justice John Roberts expressed skepticism and suggested this could be a matter for Congress and not the White House.
Most casual observers would say if you're going to give up that much amount of money, if you're going to affect the obligations of that many Americans on a subject that's of great controversy, they would think that's something for Congress to act on.
The Biden plan looks to forgive more than $400 billion in debt for about 40 million borrowers. CBS News special report. I'm Steve Kathan.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature for 5-year mandatory minimum sentences for felons caught with having guns illegally. Felons aren't supposed to have guns in Wisconsin, but many still do. The bill gets its first hearing today before the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Governor Evers would move bar time in much of southeast Wisconsin back to 4 in the morning during the Republican National Convention next year. And not just for Milwaukee, but for 14 counties, from Madison to Sheboygan to Beloit to Fond du Lac. The RNC will be in Milwaukee from July 15th through the 18th next year. In sports, the Bucks hope to make it 15 wins in a row tonight at Brooklyn. Marquette plays at Butler. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You could nominate your D-bag of the year. Got a nominee for us?
There were so many of them, as we can tell. I had to go with the ranked choice system. Okay?
I like the way you think, Rick. Okay. What else you got?
Rojo.
You know, listener poll. I think this nominee for D-bag of the year pretty much sums it up.
Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. We would love to get your opinion on our next topic, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. So what is the difference between a startup and a small business? Jane, what would you think the difference between those two things are?
Well, I would think that one of the criteria would be the number of employees.
I don't think that's it.
It's not.
Well, because a startup has to start. So what would you think? What would you think that the number of employees would mean?
Well, to me, a small
one or the other.
To me, a small business is like, I don't know, 100 people or less.
Okay.
Because I always imagine startups, even though they're a startup with thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are making a whole lot more money than me.
That's a really interesting, I'm so glad I asked you, because I feel like that's an interesting starting point of what your assumption startups are.
And I don't know why, because I assume that they're all tech companies too, and that's not necessarily
Right? It's also interesting because I'm pretty sure Instagram was only like 12 people when it was sold to Facebook for like whatever billions of dollars.
Wow.
And so startups can be four people.
Okay.
And so having worked in startups, what I understand startups to be is the growth intent, right? And so a startup is looking to expand, in my opinion, and I think other places would cite this as well, is a startup is looking to expand quickly and become a much bigger company.
Right.
Like you said, with like thousands of people. While a small business is more focused on creating and maintaining a constant and stable revenue stream. And they're not necessarily trying to scale, right?
To be a monster.
Like a corner restaurant is a small business.
A bodega.
Daycare. A bodega. The places where there is not a bigger plan to become a massive corporation is what I think of as a small business. And so when we talk about small businesses, it feels different than startups, despite both having, there's definitely startups that have less than 50 employees when they're first starting, right? And especially when they're looking for initial investment, angel funding, et cetera. And so, you know, you think about growth intent, like how fast, how much they're looking to grow, business objectives, as far as, I feel like startups are typically trying to disrupt an industry. They're trying to like approach a business problem in a different way that makes them a very valuable high growth idea versus a small business, not necessarily trying to reinvent the wheel, just trying to serve a specific market that may not be being served yet. And also like end goals, startups, I think, typically have an exit strategy of going public, like getting so big and profitable that they go public, or at least, you know, are bought by a bigger company.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. You want to get purchased by Meta or someone like that. You want a monster.
Yeah.
You want a monster to buy you.
But like in the VCs that invest in you also want you to have an exit strategy because that is their payday. Versus a small business, if it's a family business, you pass it on to, if it's like your family insurance company, you pass it on to your kid. Or And also, you could get bought by an interested buyer, but it's not the same
goal
numbers that we see that with startups. So why do I bring all this up and try to differentiate the two? Because I feel like these two different headlines that are talking, they're reporting on the same story, are a little misleading. So one was from WPR, and these are two outlets that I love when I work for. But it's just, when you read the article, this is sometimes why it's important to read the article. So WPR, their headline is, Wisconsin small businesses get boost in federal funds. And Milwaukee Journal Sentinels says, Wisconsin to receive $79.1 million in federal funding to support small businesses. So when you read it, though, the state is getting nearly $80 million to support startups and small businesses.
Right.
And the money's coming from federal state small business credit initiative, which is through the American Rescue Plan Act. But $50 million of it is going to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, also known as the WEDC, which plans to create a new Wisconsin investment fund. Are you following so far?
So far. I have a little diagram.
So basically,
I have a little diagram going here.
I know. So the WEDC is starting a new fund called the Wisconsin Investment Fund. And it's of, you know, 2/3 basically of the money that is coming from this, from ARPA, is going to this fund.
Okay.
And the goal of the fund is to partner with other venture capital funds in the state that are investing in Wisconsin-based startups.
Not small businesses.
not small businesses. So the Wisconsin Investment Fund will work with VC fund managers. Leaning on the expertise of these managers, the Wisconsin Investment Fund will select companies for investment and then match these companies' own private investments on at least a one-to-one basis. Which is different because when you think about venture capitalists, they are investing in things that they want to see a return on investment in. And so this talks about startups and high growth companies. And there are, I was actually, as I started reading more about this, I think I wasn't necessarily aware that the growing investments and like VC capital that is in Wisconsin now, like we're behind other states, but it's been steadily growing. I just found out about this venture. Maybe we'll try to get someone on the show from it, but there's a VC fund up in Green Bay called Title Tech. And I was looking at their portfolio and it looks exactly like the portfolios I used to look at when I worked in Silicon Valley, as far as like the companies they've invested in all have quirky names that don't make sense. And then you click on their websites. And so like, and they're investing in agriculture and tech and all these different things. And so it's interesting because this is on top of, I don't know if you caught this, but there's $75 million in Evers' budget proposal to also go to this fund. And that's different than this $80 million that we just got from ARPA.
Well, you know, the legislature's never going to approve that.
I know. And that was because he tried to do this in his last budget as well, and they didn't include it in theirs. But which is kind of interesting because there also isn't that the party of like economic development and trying to I'm not bringing this up because I'm like, oh, it's bad to invest in startups. I think it's great to invest in startups. And I think the ability to, you know, we've been like a med tech state so far, right? We have Epic in Madison, we have Exact Sciences in Madison. And so some of our newer, bigger companies and success stories have been in like medical tech advancements. But I guess as I was reading, there's like gaming, there's obviously manufacturing innovation and stuff like that that's also getting invested in. So like, I totally am on board for the investment and trying to make, you know, trying to grow companies in Wisconsin that could be the next big thing, which sure. Then in turn gets, it's a cool new company, gets people to move here and all the different things that I've seen, you know, not only that obviously is Silicon Valley, but this happened in Austin.
Yes.
Austin's a totally different city than it was 20 years ago.
Yep.
And it's largely because of the amount of startups that were fostered and grew there. But it's the same thing in Nashville. Like there's different hubs that are growing. I think Boulder, Colorado is similar. And so the ability, and they're usually next to universities, not always, but sometimes because there's research and people who come out of there who can be part of the growing culture.
Sure.
But so like, I'm all for that. I just think it's disingenuous to call them the same thing. And I think it goes back to this idea of this heartstrings that get pulled when we talk about small businesses, because even if you read some of the articles that I think Business Journal covered this, WPR covered this, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covered this. And so I pulled out some of the quotes, and one from Evers was, more than 99% of Wisconsin businesses are small businesses that employ nearly half of Wisconsin workers. And we know they're more likely to hire locally, buy supplies locally, and reinvest locally back into our communities. One of our focuses in recovering from the pandemic has been ensuring our small businesses receive the resources needed to thrive. We've helped fuel our economy by recovering our economic recovery by harnessing the ingenuity and homegrown talent we already have right here in Wisconsin. So it's just talking about small businesses. And then similarly, Aaron Hager, who's the vice president of entrepreneurship and innovation at WEDC, called small businesses the lifeblood of communities in Wisconsin. And so there is money that is going to small businesses.
Yes.
It's more like $15 million versus the $80 million that the headline said. And so as I start, because I think yesterday I was like, oh, should we talk about this? And I was like, well, what is there interesting to say about it? But then as I really started reading it, I was like, oh, this is different. And it's like, Because I feel like when I think about startups, it's an investment on sometimes a risky idea, because it's usually a big idea, versus a loan to get a small business off its feet.
Well, isn't a startup, it's more of a gamble. A little bit.
Yeah. And there's, you know, and there's a lot more. And not that, you know, bars and restaurants have investors, but typically, you know, they get paid out and then they get a cut of profits as things grow. But it's different than the equity stake that VCs take in companies and like the million, billion valuations that some of these companies get as they start to grow and like what their market cap is. And it's just like, it's different economic terms as far as the stakes, I would say. And so it just got me thinking as far as, and it, cause it's not, and the, well, the other article that was talking about had the, like the steady increase of outside VC funding that's coming into Wisconsin and how it's going to different parts. Like it's certainly has predominantly been in Madison and Milwaukee, but there's also some happening in Green Bay and like Northeast Wisconsin. But it just brings me back to thinking of like, who gets economic development support? And what do we call it? You know what I mean? And because there has been, I mean, there has been a lot of money earmarked for small businesses. Although this kind of makes me want to go back and look at were how often were small they startups and VC money that was going to go to VCs to then invest in startups called small business support. Because like when we talked to friend of the show, Sean Fetaplace, who is with Main Street Alliance, those are small businesses. That is like mom and pop shops that cost way less to get started. Are, you know, are parts of their community, do provide a service, but not necessarily trying to scale to be the next Fortune 500 company.
Right.
And the type of support that they need to get started, to grow, is very different than what a VC fund is going to offer.
Definitely.
And so having, I feel like my point of all this is it's important to separate the two instead of lump them together, because ultimately they are pretty different things, even if at one time a startup is what you said, a similar size as a small business.
Well, and ultimately it's going to come down to whether the Republican-led legislature in Wisconsin wants to give anything to Governor Evers that could be perceived as a win.
Well, what do you mean?
As far as approving any additional monies, I know the federal money is coming in, but I just think it will be interesting going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think there. Yeah, because the one that I was talking about, that was more startup money. I think it's just more interesting to think about, like, what are the, how much of this in the programs that actually go to small businesses that feel like an investment on grocery stores and bodegas and restaurants and retail shops. So, all right. Well, speaking about Evers, I thought nothing good happened after midnight, and yet we want to stay open till 4. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
the manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And one more segment, and then we're handing it over to Jane and Carol Kane. Remind us, what do you have in the noon hour?
In the noon hour, we're going to start talking about Paul Ryan.
Ooh.
I'm very excited about talking about Paul Ryan and his comments about the former president. And yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Also coming up next hour, quiet quitting. And the trend and how employers are trying to fight that trend of their employees just basically saying, yep, I'm not doing that. And then in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to play radio stations somewhere across the country, picked out the five greatest rock bands of all time, which I think are open to debate. And yeah. As you listen to the show today, I might throw in a couple bumper music songs that are from the bands that they selected, but we'll reveal all of them at 1:30.
Do you have a very strong opinion of what your top five rock bands of all time are?
I think it's an impossible task.
Yeah,
I really do. And everyone has such different tastes and different criteria. So it's not like I disagree with all of these, but there are so many good bands. How do you only pick five?
I know. Well, I will be tuning in. Thank you again for you and Carol to cover me today. But yeah, that sounds like a fun lineup of, not that I was worried. You two have been doing this for a while
we have a little experience.
You have a little experience. Just a little bit.
It'll be okay.
So classic dad quote of nothing ever good happens after midnight.
It is classic.
It is classic. I don't know if it's always true, but, you know, I've lived in some places that had, I guess really only I've lived in one place. I've lived in New York, which had a bar time well past two. And in my life, there has been times that I have still been at an establishment, not a lot, but
there have been times.
Handful of times.
Sure.
There have been times where I've still been in an establishment and you walk outside and the sun is coming up.
Oh, look. The sun shall rise tomorrow.
And I gotta be honest, on those days, didn't feel great for the next day at all. And so there was those days, especially when I was living in New York, where like there's a reason why the rest of the country, pretty much, not everywhere, Vegas, I think Chicago has some late night places that you have to have a different license to be able to go. I think Miami is open late, but so not everywhere, but most places bar time is two. And I remember often being in New York the next day, not the night of, the next day, feeling like there's a reason why everywhere else tells you to go home. You're not in the position right now to know what's best for you. We know what's best for you. Go home.
Trust us.
But yet, Governor Tony Evers, bit of a party animal, I guess, because he is reviving a proposal to allow thousands of visitors and residents in the 14 counties to indulge in Wisconsin's favorite pastime until just about when the sun comes up during the RNC next year. And so it's randomly part of the budget.
Really?
But yeah, under a measure included in Evers' 2023-25 state budget plan, bars could stay open until 4 a.m. during mid-July 2024, when the Republican Party will host its national convention in Milwaukee. And so I guess they also, this was taken up by state lawmakers in 2020 when there was supposed to be the DNC. Obviously, that didn't happen. But I guess a lobbyist for the Tavern League said he expects the idea to come to law. Even if the lawmakers take this out of the budget, they'll likely pass something themselves.
Well, it's...
So this could be happening.
If the Tavern League wants it, it will happen.
That's true.
Isn't that a fair bet?
But I just thought it was funny because it's one of those things where it's funny. I don't know. I just think it's funny to think of a bunch of RNC attendees partying until 4 a.m. at like dive bars across these 14 counties.
Well, I think it's going to turn out to be just a tragic failure, because what member in good standing of the Party of Family Values is going to be out at a bar until 4 o'clock in the morning? I just don't, that just doesn't.
It doesn't compute.
It doesn't compute for me. I think that would be shocking.
I mean, it's good for bars if people are actually going to be out that late. But what was also surprising to me is the 14 counties included. So it's, Kenosha, Racine, Walworth, Rock, Milwaukee, Waukesha, Jefferson, Dane, Ozaukee, Washington, Dodge, Columbia, Sheboygan, and Fond du Lac.
Wow, they really expect people to be staying all over the place.
And I guess, is that why? Is there going to be people? Is that was the expectation when it was the DNC? Is that like that is the hotel accommodations and how spread out everyone's going to be in the attempt to find lodging?
I'm assuming.
Or is it just going to be a big party for that week, no matter where you are, as long as you're in one of those 14 counties? Of just, you go don't have it. To go home. For once, you can stay here. You don't have to go home.
We're not going to tell you to leave. Until 4.
Until 4 a.m. Those poor bartenders.
Seriously. And the bouncers. You've really got to feel for those people. I mean, I realize that that's their job and they're not surprised, but allowing people to stay drinking until 4 o'clock in the morning certainly can't make their jobs any easier.
No. Because that's a long shift then. Because even if you open at 9 or 10, which probably some of those parties would start at like 8, but I don't know. I mean, apparently if the Tavern League's behind this, it's an opportunity. It's 2 more hours of making money. But also I wonder how this, cause isn't there third shift bars that basically open at 4?
I don't know that there are anymore. There used to be. I mean, the National,
there's still one in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, is there?
I forgot what it's called.
There used to be one in Milwaukee.
It has no windows.
So it's just a cave. It's basically a cave with a bar.
It's basically, I forgot, I'll have to ask my mom what it was called, but it's, I'm pretty sure it's still open, and it was specifically for third shift folks who needed a beer after the shift, but did not want to see the sunlight, and so that's where they went.
National Liquor Bar on National Avenue in Milwaukee used to, I think, was that kind of place. It's no longer there.
Okay. All right. Well, that will do it for me today. I will be back tomorrow with Greg Bach. We got a fun show planned, but stick around because Jane Matinair and Carol Kane are going to take over for the rest of the show. We got to take a break for the top of the hour news, but this is As Goes Wisconsin. So pour that thing up to the top. I'm coming in hot. Hey, bartender.
Don't remember.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.